We do have that effect.
Fantastic. Good. So thank you very much for tuning in, everybody. And it is half term, so I'm sure lots of people are out there enjoying the sunshine. Unseasonably warm weather we're having at the moment, Adrian. I know you're on half term holiday.
Absolutely.
Later.
Yeah, I know. It's going to cost a few bob taking the kids out, but I'm sure we'll find something that's economically viable.
This happened last year, didn't it? We had this sort of beautiful spring, early spring weather. And then we had something called the Beast from the East.
Yes, that's right. When was that? Early March, wasn't it?
So I hope we don't get that again this year. So,
the Beast from the West.
So have you elected to spend a day of your holiday with us then?
Yes, an hour of it anyway.
I'm touched.
Well, we're going to talk to Adrian in detail in the second part of the show. You're going to be telling us all about, I think, restructuring and recovery. We've kind of termed it, haven't we?
Absolutely.
So we're going to come on to some of that in a bit more detail then. But, Brian, what we normally like to do is kind of kick off the show with some news and stuff that's kind of happening in Kent. But I know you've got a bit of, Adrian and I were just chuckling, you've got a bit of money tucked up your sleeve that's come your way. So what's that all about?
Yeah, I wish. Yes, it's come my way. I love the way you put it like that. Yeah, it's a couple of quid. It's just a drop in the ocean. A swift 29 million quid has appeared. From where, I hear you ask. And basically what it is KCC, they're to get a £29 million grant, basically, to organise Operation Brock. Do we know what that is?
No idea.
No idea either.
No. Well, basically, it's something to look after the transport carnage and everything else that's going to be caused in Kent in the event of a no-deal Brexit.
So this is a stack replacement, is it?
Yeah, that's how I'm seeing it, really.
Okay.
So they're going to have to put all kinds of things in place, aren't they? For they're saying a little bit scaremongering, but it's going to take just hours and hours and hours for all the lorries to be queuing and have paperwork checked and all that kind of stuff. Mm. So Operation Stack is going to look chicken feed, I think, compared to this.
It will, won't it?
Well, just thinking, how do they come up with that figure? I mean, did they base it on Operation Stack? Is that as the benchmark? Was that, it's going to cost 20? How much? 29
million.
29
million, yeah, I know.
Oh, we'll find that easier.
It's probably just the policing bill, I guess. Kent Police, isn't it? You know, for kind of having so many more kind of vehicles and people on duty, I guess, to kind of manage it. It's crazy, isn't it?
And that's the interesting thing, because £29 million to us thinks, yeah, you know, I'll have that. It sounds a reasonable sum of money. But, of course, nobody knows, and least of all me, but nobody knows what it actually involves. Mm. So what's going to happen? What's it going to pay for? Mm. So it sounds like it's a lot of money, but I don't know. It might last 3 days and it's all gone. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Well, one thing's for sure, we haven't got the Ramsgate to Ostend ferry option anymore, have we?
So what happened to that?
Well, that's been thrown out, apparently.
It caused a bit of a political stir last week, didn't it?
Yeah. So I think, is it Chris Grayling, who's the Transport Secretary?
Yeah.
He's coming under a bit of fire at
the
moment, isn't he? But that was the ferry operator, Brian, that you read out their terms and conditions on one of our shows a couple of months ago.
Oh, yes, I remember now.
They seemed to think they were running a Chinese takeaway or something. And they weren't open after the hours of midnight till 6 p.m. or something. So I'm not quite sure what kind of ferry service that was going to be. But
book
it's 10 no
crossings and you get some free prawn crackers or something like that.
But what I am interested to find out, Adrian, is, I mean, you're obviously MHA, McIntyre Hudson, you're a fairly large regional firm of accountants.
Yeah, we're growing. I mean, obviously, I cover the corporate restructuring and insolvency side of things, but we've got a growing general practice as well, dealing with everything to do with finance.
But what are you advising your clients to do in terms of risk mitigation, exposure to Brexit? Are you able to advise your clients to
not clearly? I mean, at the moment, I mean, we went to a recent seminar where they're just giving some general advice, but it's not really. It's nobody really knows what's going to happen.
No,
exactly. No, nobody can advise.
Not really. Not clearly.
But one thing is for certain. If it does all go horribly Pete Tong, you'll be in the firing line,
I want to know what the definition of that is. Everyone says that to me.
Yeah.
You know, if we leave with a no deal, it's a big carnage. But I don't know what that's going to look like.
No.
I mean, I don't think everything's going to stop after the 29th of March, and things have got to carry on.
Well, Porsche, I think, came out in the news today. I heard that, they were going to, there was going to be some surcharge for doing business with UK customers, which surely is just going to kill their business overnight, isn't
it? I mean, yeah, that's there could be, yeah, absolutely. On,
so
on
all of their cars go up by 10%, basically. My understanding was that virtually every car manufacturer that will apply to.
Yeah, but to come out and say, you know, I mean, inflation is one thing and you know, but to come out and say that you're going to effectively penalise UK customers, you know, and they're going to have to pay more for their vehicles because they're no longer in Europe, I don't know. I mean, that's it almost seemed to me like they were going to build in that as part of their kind of on-the-road price. You know, right, UK customer, add 10% for him.
So it's put you off buying your next Porsche then?
Well, absolutely.
You'll have to have a Ford instead, Whitey, like everybody else.
I bet Mr. Andrews is having sleepless nights with his little red number he's got parked in his driveway. Anyway, let's move on. So so we wait with bated breath to see where this £29 million of additional taxpayer money is going to be spent. So,
Because it is next month, is it not? Now it's all happening. So
yes, of course, it's all getting very real, isn't it? It's is it the week after the clocks change or something like that? So
actually, what day? What,
is it a Friday?
When's the official date?
I thought it was the 29th. I might be wrong.
There you go, 29th of March, and it's £29 million. So
that's where it came from. There we know. No, there's always some logic there somewhere.
Yeah.
Right. Let's talk about some other stuff that's kind of going on in our beautiful county at the moment. Because there is, I mean, let's face it, things seem to have, Adrian, you were remarking on this, things have ramped up a little bit in terms of all the brilliant events that people are running and stuff that we can all kind of get involved with. So, Brian, why don't you tell us, kick off with some BBN news. What's going on at BBN?
Yeah, I mean, we had our third BBM Maidstone meeting last Friday. And, well, in fact, you know, because you were both there.
Sold out, wasn't it,
so,
Brian?
Absolutely, Adrian, every time. So kind of circa 50 businesses in the room, said no to a few people, unfortunately, because otherwise we'll be there till mid-afternoon. And I do like my breakfast. and, yeah, really, really good. I think we welcome 9 new businesses again that weren't there the previous two.
Sonia Whittam, one of our guests on the show, did a brilliant presentation.
She did, Sonia Whittam.
Very brave
of
her, I thought.
Yeah, that was.
Very open, very honest. Had some great feedback on that. And, it's all quite emotional, really.
Absolutely.
So. But it was buzzing. It was buzzing again, so that was good. Mm. So what's happening this week? Where are we?
So this week, indeed, we are BBN Dartford this Thursday, which is the 21st of February.
And I've been told by the Met Office that it's not going to be a windy day.
So hopefully the bridge won't close, which, last time was an absolute nightmare. Took me over an hour to do the last kind of half a mile. I think 3 people didn't make it at all, and 3 or 4 people got there literally at 8:30. Just as breakfast was on its way out. So they did manage to get some breakfast and quick bit of networking
gone. I tend to find with these things, the further away you have to commute from, the more chance you've got there of getting there on time.
Yeah, you were one of the first ones there.
Well, you leave at 4 o'clock in the morning, don't you?
Well, I'm thinking of moving to France and then...
and get there even quicker.
Chartering a light aircraft to get to Brian's BBN meeting.
Yeah, exactly. And, of course, they are worth it. So,
flight.
Yeah, that hopefully it's going to be positively Caribbean weather this week. Yeah. It should be pretty good. Mm. So,
good.
Literally, as you and everybody know, they're sold out months and months and months in advance, but there are a couple of places. I'm prepared to open it up to a couple more people. A couple of cancellations for half term and stuff, but we've got 52. I'm prepared to go 54.
So how do we get in touch with you? At Brian's being on the Twitter, I know.
Yeah, have a look at bbnetworking.co.uk website wise, and then ultimately drop me a message, or if I don't know you, then we'll have a conversation and make sure the group's right and everything else. We can do that.
And you've got Bromley next week, haven't you?
Yeah, Bromley, BBN Bromley is Wednesday 27th.
Right.
So I was at the last one there, and that was a decent meeting as well. And and actually, that was quite a busy day, because from there I went to an FSB event.
Yes.
FSB Monthly Curry in Orpington. So not an area that I've been to for quite some time, but took over the whole restaurant, 30-odd businesses there, and they must have been desperate because they asked me to speak, do a 10 minutes and give some networking tips and stuff like that there. So
did anybody order a chicken madras?
And, you couldn't order. It was, you just had it put in front of you, basically.
Okay. It was vindaloo.
I was going to say, you know, I only ever eat the same thing when I go for a curry, regardless of whether I'm networking or what. But, well, no, I'm a hot person you. So, okay. But I'm not sure I could eat a chicken madras at 12.
Well, you wouldn't have had that option, Whitey. No. Wouldn't have had that option. It was.
I normally have to have about 6 pints to go with it.
And water or beer.
Well, it was one of these kind of Indian nouveau cuisine things.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of the stuff they were putting on a plate was marvellously presented and little drizzles of kind of different coloured stuff all over it.
They're doing some good stuff, the FSB networking wise, though, aren't they?
It was good, yeah. That was organised by our friend Chandra Sharma that runs Tangent Office Supplies over in Bromley and Orpington. Mm. And met some good people that are now BBNers and stuff like that. So, that was good. Mm-hmm. And also, next Wednesday, we have our friend Gary Johnson at Racing Events that runs Network Kent, which is always the last Wednesday of the month up at Bridgewood Manor.
Bridgewood Manor. Is it the end of February next week?
Already. It's the 27th. And it's the 1st of March on Friday, which is even scarier.
Next Friday?
Friday is the 1st of March.
There was me thinking we're halfway through February, and now we're talking about the end of February being next Thursday.
No, it's nearly all over, Whitey. Right. February has been and gone in a flash.
So that's at the Bridgewood Manor, isn't it?
That's at Bridgewood Manor. Mm-hmm. That's kind of 10:30 to 12:30.
Right. Now, that you do have to book on for. So how do you get in touch with Gary to let him know you're coming?
Yeah, I mean, Network Kent do have their own website, and you can book via that. Mm-hmm. You'll probably get an email or have had an email from him. With a link to
that's quite intriguing. That half 10 to half 12. How do you get people to come to an event at that time of the day? And businesses that are, you know, that's effectively it's a half a day, isn't it? Really, unless you're going really early and then off you go. I mean, is it a different type of sort of approach or?
It's
or
a good question, Adrian. Actually, I think you get very local people.
Right,
there's very few people that kind of travel unless they happen to be in the area for something else. Maybe if they've got lunch somewhere else, or perhaps they went to a breakfast meeting that's up the road and they can comfortably get there for 10:30.
I mean, that's a good point. I mean, but for whatever reason, it works. It's always packed out, isn't it?
There's usually 40-odd, say.
It's very popular. And I guess the fact it's only once a month helps as well.
I suppose, it's usually a 10-minute speaker.
Stick it in the diary. Oh, okay. No, it's a good question,
I mean, funny enough, two or three meetings back, the 10-minute speaker was Alex Waterton from F-Keys, the Excel wizard, as I call him, someone we all know. And he was actually also the speaker at BBM Bromley in the morning. So he was there for 6:30 or whatever, did his 10 minutes, hightailed it from Bromley across to Walderslade, got there for 9:55 and set up and did his 10 minutes there as well. And it put me to shame because I'd missed my own meeting in Bromley to go to Gary's because I thought it was too much. But
so that's next Alex Wednesday at the Bridgewood Manor.
Yes,
and
it is.
Before we went live on air, we were talking about another event that's happening this Thursday that's being organised by the brilliant Sam Beadle from Flutterbee Me, I got it right this time, events, and that's LinkedIn Local.
Yes.
Which is happening at the Great Danes in Maidstone this Thursday evening.
They had one before, didn't they, I believe? Two or three months ago.
We went to one in November.
Horrendous traffic, I think there was. Got there on that really late. I think the M20 was shut, and I wasn't scheduled to go. I couldn't go. I had something else on. But I will attempt to go to this one.
Yes, well, I'm going to be at this one. They and the Great Danes, bless them, they do put on a lovely spread as well.
How many people booked into that one, did you?
Well, when I booked on today, I think I was number 338.
Wow.
So I'm not sure everybody will ultimately attend, but it's they normally have I think last time I had three sort of guest speakers on the evening. They had somebody from LinkedIn kind of giving some tips, but it really is all about the kind of the face behind the profile, about the opportunity to meet the people that you are connected to through your LinkedIn network, and that's what the evening's all about,
Okay.
Do they put anything in place for that to happen, or are you just kind of taking pot luck?
Well, it's obviously it's open networking. What was interesting last time round was the guy from LinkedIn gave people a kind of a secret tip. He showed people how to actually find other people who were on LinkedIn in the room at that time,
right,
which was quite interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
The evening is really an open networking evening, and as I say, a chance to kind of to perhaps pull people up on their profile picture because they haven't updated it for 5 years.
Like me.
And you know, invariably you're going to bump into people you don't recognise, yeah, despite the fact you see them on LinkedIn quite often.
Yeah, a bit like a dating site.
Yeah,
they don't look anything like your photo. Yeah. Well, it was taken 40
got any
years
hair
ago.
Left.
You appear to have put on 12 stones since you had that photo done.
Well, guilty of all of that.
Particularly large lunch.
And, but one of your BBNers from Maidstone, Nick, is going to be there.
He's
one of the evening sponsors. And on that note, he's going to be offering people the opportunity to get their profile picture updated.
He'll
do a new headshot for you. So that's Nick from Immersive 3D, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, yeah.
Who did my last profile picture for me, actually. So he weaved
his magic there, didn't
exactly,
he? Eh?
Exactly. So I can testify firsthand.
Amazing what these people
hell of a
do.
Magic wand. Yeah. Made him look almost human.
Very qualified. Yeah. Now, we've got loads of other stuff coming. So, Ryan.
Have we?
Kick us off. Our host, Kent Space, have got an event coming up, haven't they?
Yes, they have. He says, sounding out of breath because I've just moved three chairs to get closer to the screen. I tell you what, Olympic training
is. Yeah, that's better.
But the good news is we can hear you still.
Can you?
Yeah,
that's good.
Loud and clear.
I wavered in and out on this one last time. So, yeah, we have here at Kent Space next Wednesday, 27th of February. That's kind of 6 till 8, I believe.
Yes. Nibbles always provided as well.
Yes, nibbles and tea and coffee.
Sue McGowan is your contact, I believe. sm@kentspace.co.uk if you would like to book onto
that's
that.
That's the one.
Good. Now, we mentioned the FSB briefly earlier and their curry lunch that you went to and spoke at last week.
Yep.
We at Supply My Business have got together with the FSB and also the brilliant people at the Ashford International Hotel and also the Kent MS Therapy Centre. And we are launching, we've called it After Six. And that's going to be a monthly networking evening taking place at the Ashford International Hotel. And the first one is going to be Wednesday, the 20th of March. So that's a free to attend after 6 p.m. networking, probably finish at 8. We'll always have a keynote speaker on the evening. And we're actually hoping to have the regeneration manager for Ashford Borough Council coming to our launch event.
Okay.
So we'd love to see you there. It's a free to attend. There is an Eventbrite booking link, so please do book onto that so that we know how many people to kind of cater for with refreshments, etc. on the evening. All of this stuff that we're going to read out now, by the way, is all nicely kind of contained in the community section of Supply My Business. So booking links, everything else that you need, you'll find on supplymybusiness.co.uk in community.
Mm.
Brian.
I was really looking forward to that event that you're getting involved with there, Martin. I'd love to be there.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, however, it clashes with, exactly at the same time, with some Maidstone networking at the Business Terrace in Week Street. So if you're more kind of Maidstone-ish rather than Ashford-ish, mm-hmm. then you've got a choice of two. Yeah. How lucky are they, Adrian?
Absolutely.
I was with Sean on, when was it? Thursday, actually, and we were talking about that. Sean Henry, who runs the Business Terrace up there. So that's going to be a cracking night as well. So I'm not quite sure how you book on for that, but if you contacted the Maidstone Business Terrace on Twitter and said you'd like to go along to that, I'm sure they'd be more than happy to fit you in. It's always a cracking evening as well.
I think it's so easy these days, he says, with most of these you can just Google it and you'll find the event,
right.
and you'll get in there.
Now the Marlow Theatre, they have their own business club, and Warhorse is coming back to the Marlow Theatre this spring, which is a cracking show.
Yeah,
if you've never seen it. But they're also running a business networking lunch around that. It's on Friday the 8th of March, taking place from 12 till 2.30. I think tickets are usually about £16. And again, you'll find that on the Marlowe's website or in the community section of Supply My Business. But I went to the last one. It's absolutely brilliant. You get to go behind the scenes, see the puppets, touch the puppets. And really, you know, learn all about the show in terms of how it's actually produced. So, and have some great networking and some nice food on the day as well. So that's Friday, the 8th of March from 12 till 2.30. Brian.
Okay. Tuesday, the 26th of February from 9 until 4.30. Mm. So that's a proper day, long day. Why is that? Because it's about GDPR.
Oh my God.
The start of a long journey of compliance. I should get you talking about this one, Adrian.
What, GDPR?
No, just something that's ever so involved.
Oh, right.
Right up your street.
I thought everyone forgot about GDPR.
Exactly. That's what I said.
That's the point.
Was it a year? Was it May? Is it end of May? Did it come in? 25th of May last year, I think it was, wasn't it? Something like that.
Gosh, I can't remember now. But anyway, Brian, tell us more about that. Yeah, what's going on there?
Well, that's taking place at the Mill. Millbrook Garden Centre, which is I happen to know this place because I used to live very close to it, and it's at Southfleet, just outside of Gravesend. So that's Tuesday 26th of February, 9 o'clock till 4.30. Simon Morgan,
friend of ours.
From the HR department is organising that, so get in touch with him. It's available through Eventbrite, or get in touch with Simon Morgan at the HR department and he'll put you straight there.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting what you said, Adrian. I think that's most people's perceptions. It's going to be and gone. But the reality of GDPR is far from that. It's an evolving thing.
Absolutely.
And if you still haven't got your head around it or you need some help, then that's definitely worth booking onto. Another good friend of ours, Brian, and you, Adrian, I think as well, Tracy at Pecunia.
Credit Control Trace.
Credit Control Tracy is running her own credit management workshop on Tuesday, the 26th of February, and that's at the Chatham Historic Dockyard. And again, very similar to the GDPR event, that is an all-dayer where they will literally take you through the A to Z of how to make sure that, you know, when you do business with a customer, you get paid on
Absolutely.
The back of it. And that's going to cover everything from, you know, how you lay your invoice out to not being frightened to pick up the phone and actually monitoring debtor days on the back of that and understanding who hasn't paid you.
Worthwhile going to that.
Very worthwhile. Yeah. So, you know, ultimately, I think in the long run, you'll probably save yourselves quite a lot of money by investing in that. So that's Tuesday, the 19th of March. That's 9.30 to 4.30 in Chatham. Brian, why don't you tell us about the IT Kent IT Academy launch? Because we've got that coming up, haven't we, with our good friends Joe and Ben.
Oh, Ben Leach and Joe Humphrey.
Yeah.
That is...
You're banging your mouse away there. I'm furious that I can hear it.
Banging your mouse.
Do you know what?
Do you want to rephrase that?
I actually think this is a real mouse. I wonder why it was wriggling as I'm
People
hitting
laugh
his head
when they
on the
listen
desk.
To that guy.
I tell you what, I drove past Brian the other... Yeah. Drove past his house the other week. He had a hammer in his hand and he was taking it to his Robin Reliant. Oh. He was trying
to... It's my Del Boy motor.
Yeah. I think we'll have
to... Get sorted.
We'll have to start calling him John Cleese, I think. Yeah. Right, come on then, Mr.
Right,
Cleese.
That's it. Last
come
chance.
On, Basil. Tell us about the IT Academy.
Yeah, come the on. IT Academy is a series of academies about, you guessed it, IT.
It's a monthly thing, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And it's a collaboration between a couple of our BBM members, Joe Humphrey from Origin Computer Training.
Joe's been on the show.
Yeah, we had her on here, two or three shows ago, didn't we? And Ben Leach from BOIT Solutions. So they're going to enjoy a great
AKA
time
the
together.
King of networking.
I should say, yeah.
He likes a bit of networking, does Ben, yeah.
So what are they going to be talking about? What's the first kind of, this is the launch, isn't it? Is it Buckmore Park?
Yes, it is. It's 27th of Feb and it's 7 o'clock till 9 o'clock. So they're in 2-hour segments, if you like. And they're going to be covering on the first one stuff like ransomware, malware attacks, and also looking at Office 365. For people like you that are still on Outlook 3 or whatever you've got, instead of, oh no, Windows 3 instead of 10. Refreshments are included, and again, you can book via Eventbrite.
We must get Ben on the show. I'll tell you why, because we've got the whole Windows 7 nightmare that's going to hit us this year, haven't we?
Of course.
No more support for Windows 7. I know you're already up to speed with 10, and you're all kind of
streets
ahead. Yeah, yeah. Early adopter. I'm definitely not one of those.
So you know me. If something comes out, I've got to have it.
We must invite Ben on. I think that would be really useful. Actually.
Funny you should say that. He did ask me last week if he could come on, and
good.
I said yes eventually.
Good.
We're so popular, we've got lists as long as our arms. So, yes, we'll get him on.
Right, one more event I think we'll just read out very quickly. That's, again, it's another FSB event. It's taking place this Thursday, the 21st of February, 8 o'clock in the morning. It's at Judean's Rugby Club in Tunbridge. And it's a networking breakfast, and it's 8 o'clock in the morning till 9.30. And I know they're always very well attended as well. So this Thursday, 8 till 9.30, Judean's Rugby Football Club. There's an Eventbrite booking link, but again, you'll find all of that on Supply My Business. I think what we'll do now, Brian, because we've almost nailed it on the half hour, we're gonna play a bit of tunage to introduce our next guest, and let's see if
is it going
to
be Guess the Link?
Exactly, it's Guess the Link time.
So I like this bit, best bit of the show, I think.
Let's see if everybody can guess the link.
Said, brother, I'd like to help you, but I'm unable to.
was a bit of a blast from the past there, wasn't it, chaps?
I'm guessing, was that 91, maybe?
Mick Hucknall, yeah, Simply Red, that's 90, my vintage. Probably 91, 90s, wasn't it?
91, yeah. 92, any idea? Mm. Artists on a postcard?
Yeah, I would have thought it was a little bit earlier than that.
Yeah, it might
yeah,
be late 80s,
oh, late 80s, actually. 80s, quite possibly.
Yeah, yeah,
quite
80, possibly. 85, actually.
Oh, wow, as early as that? Like,
yeah, I would okay. say. I'll what look a, it up later.
What a band they turned into.
Yes, yeah, very ginger.
Yeah. Anyway, for those of you sharp-eyed and sharp-eared out there listening in, obviously that was money too tight to mention, and that leads us on to, I think nicely, our guest for today, who is Adrian Dante. And you've got quite a sort of a meaty job title, haven't you, Adrian?
Absolutely.
It's Restructuring and Recovery
yes.
Director for MHA McIntyre
Anything
Hudson.
With a re in it.
With a re, yes. Recovery, renewal, rescue, reorganisation. But if you go back 20 years,
I was those, take
words,
you
those words didn't really exist in no. in our profession. It was all insolvency.
Right,
you know,
okay.
Insolvency practitioners. And that was it. The company's going into receivership or insolvency or, yes. or whatever. But now it's different now.
Well, that's good. And I'm so glad you came on today because I think that I guess one of the key messages you want to get over today is as long as people address the problems in their business early enough, there is actually invariably an alternative solution or outcome to the one that you've just been describing.
Well, no, this is absolutely the key to any survival or you know, carrying on through turbulent times and coming out the other side, because, you know, by the very nature of our economy, you know, there are ups and downs, and we're in a situation at the moment where you know, if we look at like the last 10 years, I mean, you know, it's been more than 10 years since the last financial crash. In my opinion, there was a bit of a phony recession in many ways. I think Kent bucked the trend. Yes, we did have a dip. I think we had two consecutive quarters that was technically, you know, comes an actual definition of recession. But then we kind of come out of it. But then it was a very slow recovery. But if you think the interest rates have stayed as low as possible, but I can't help thinking, I've looked at some stats that, you know, the cheap borrowing is coming to an end. Mm. And, you know, even if you look at PPI, which is coming to an end in August, you know, banks have given away billions, and the people have been, you know, not relying on it, but using that. And that's going to come to an end. And I'm kind of thinking what the banks might be doing right. in terms of recovering that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, Brexit is hopefully also coming to an end. So, in other words, what you're saying is, I guess there are going to be certain key economic indicators. Might be interest rates, might be full employment, for example, might be the end of the Brexit process, that you can almost kind of, you know, put on your kind of strategic planning wall or mindset and say, well, actually, you know, we need to kind of mitigate the risks that these things are going to actually represent for our business.
Absolutely.
And why wait until, you know, the doo-doo hits the fan, as it were?
Absolutely.
You know, why not address that now?
So. Absolutely. I mean, obviously the key to, you know, to any business is cash flow, as we know.
Right.
And the moment, you know, that you can't, you know, you're finding it difficult to keep pace with the liabilities, they're the alarm bells.
Right.
That doesn't mean that things are going to, you know, fall off a cliff, but that's the time to start talking to your professional advisors, not necessarily to an insolvency practitioner, but to your professional advisor, whether it's obviously your accountant or in-house accountant, and have a look at like how the company's performing and why you're struggling. You know, is it because you're not, you know, we're talking about credit control.
Mm-hmm.
It's absolutely key, you know, and I think that's the biggest problem for businesses right now is getting paid.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, it's really interesting because I want to get your take on this. And Brian, you come in here as well if you want to. But we always see these massive multinational businesses out there who can go through the most horrendous trading periods. And I'm going to point the finger at the moment at Jaguar Land Rover, who I think they're actually owned by Tata now, aren't they, out in India?
Two Indian guys, yeah.
But I think they've just published, I'm not sure if it was year-end or quarter results, but I think they'd lost about £1.5 billion.
In trade, in the last
quarter, I think it was. They, you know, that was their loss or their last trading period. Whatever.
That'll leave a hole in anyone's bank balance.
How on earth do they fund that?
They're just bankrolled.
Where does that money come from?
Absolutely, it just comes from the owners.
Right.
And you look at the shareholders' reserves and the, and what's left in there. You know, people don't look at the at the balance sheet; they just look at the at the P&L.
Right.
But that's just bankrolled, and it will just and it
so
will
that's
just
them writing a check as a director's loan to the business
until such time as they say enough is enough.
Right.
And we have to either shrink the business or restructure it in some way.
But it's no, it's not dissimilar to what a small business owner might be going through in terms of look. You know, I've got premises,
yep.
I've got staff, I've got to pay the wages, I've got to pay the rent.
Yep.
Those are kind of must-haves, if you like. And if I've got a shortfall, I guess I'm going to have to put my hand in the pocket and make up the difference.
And that is absolutely, you know, that is a fundamental issue that we're dealing with at the moment, that just ploughing money, you know, into effectively a black hole,
just
you know,
aimlessly,
just to make that's right, right, absolutely, just to make ends meet is not going to in the long term. It might be a short term fix,
yes.
But it's not really addressing the fundamental issues of the business.
Because you've just written us a brilliant blog, and the title of that blog is "Knowing When to Stop Trading."
Yeah, that's right.
So, what for you is that kind of that? You know, that line in the sand beyond which you do not cross. I mean, at what point do you say to a business owner, because you might be, you know, I mean, say you're a startup, for example.
Yeah.
At what point do you say, look, this has either got legs as a potential business or it hasn't,
yeah.
And therefore you need to kind of walk away.
Absolutely.
From it.
I mean,
how do you know what the right time is, Adrian?
I mean, there's never a right time to be perfectly honest with you. But you know, the key issue here is being able to pay your debtors when they fall due. And I don't want to labour the point, but directors and business owners do have a responsibility, you know, to ensure that their business continues to trade, solvently.
Yes.
And not
so
to,
you can't go out and buy Ferraris and. You know, expect
you can if you can afford them,
right?
But generally speaking, I mean, this is where the director's wrongdoing can come in. I don't want to labour too much, but directors have got to be aware that there are potential problems that could come their way personally.
Yes.
You know, if they are continue to trade insolvently.
Oh, well, they're responsible, aren't
absolutely
they?
Absolutely right. Absolutely, and that's kind of like the myth of limited liability. You know, a lot of directors do hide behind that, but. They don't realise that they can become personally liable.
Okay.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's interesting because you say about the $1.5 billion loss for Jaguar Land Rover last year. Now, it really depends, I think, why in a lot of instances. So if, for argument's sake, the previous 10 years, they've made £1 billion profit per year, so they've made $10 billion, and then they have to plough 1.5 back in, that's kind of okay. Obviously, the books still balance, the figures still add up. But I would ask the question is, why is that? So, for example, if they'd just spent a couple of billion quid on developing some new lines, so they've got huge R&D, research and development costs, that's a huge investment. If they haven't really had something like that, and it's just a big downturn in trade, and we're not selling as many, or the business is being run poorly or mismanaged, and there's no real reason, that, for me, would set off fireworks and start ringing bells.
Yeah. And,
that's really what we're talking about here today, isn't it? We're talking about... businesses that perhaps they've gone into that downward cycle, and perhaps a disruptor has come into the marketplace and stolen market share.
And if that's what it is, that's a whole different thing.
That's right.
It?
That's a good point, actually. Look, you know, loss of market share is one of the big reasons why companies do fail. They've got to be able to keep reinventing themselves.
Right.
You know, and you know, seeking out new opportunities.
So let's say a business comes to you early enough, Adrian, and they put their cards on the table, and we were talking about this again before we came on air, and a lot of it is down to the business owner, I guess, in their heart of hearts. They know there's a problem.
Yes, that's right.
And they've got to be prepared to put their hand
up
and want to be, you know, and want to ask for advice.
Absolutely right.
So let's say they do that and they come to you and you identify things like, the competitive set in a given marketplace, for example, and that dynamic has changed or, input prices have gone up exponentially as a result of, something like Brexit out of their control. Or, you know, how can you actually help somebody at that early stage to kind of to work around those issues? Because I guess that is something you can do as well, isn't
absolutely
it?
As you say, that's key. Like, businesses coming to us at an earlier stage, or the earliest stage possible. I mean, you know, there are procedures out there, and it's not just insolvency. You know, there are obviously there's opportunities where we can look at refinance.
Yeah,
we may have to change the business or restructure it. It may have to shrink.
Right.
It may have to shrink to turn to profitability.
Right.
And it may have to make some harsh decisions in terms of cost cutting.
Yeah.
But there is an opportunity to actually rescue that business on that basis.
As long as they come to you early enough, there is light at the end of the tunnel, potentially.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you probably know the concept of a company voluntary arrangement, and as you know, that's been used quite a lot in the retail sector. I mean, just for our listeners, you know, this is a concept where a compromise is reached with creditors to allow the business to continue trading and survive, but still under the ownership of those directors. But it allows to ring fence the debt and trade on and be able to repay something back over a period of time. But the only problem with those company voluntary arrangements is that it's very difficult to predict what's going to happen in a year's, you know, in 6 months' time, let alone a year's time. You know, when because it's all based on trust. You've got to ask your suppliers to buy into what you're trying to do. Of course, they're getting a bit worried because obviously they've got to not only part that debt, but they've got to trade on with you in the future. So they may want to change the terms of the trade.
How important is getting the right finance in businesses that you meet that are in a kind of distressed state? Because if you went to a bank, for example, at the moment and asked for a business loan, they might lend you, I don't know, a small business loan up to 50 grand or whatever it is, probably 8% or something.
Yes, that's right,
but
absolutely.
If you went to another source, you might be able to get that at 2%.
Well, bank loans are not necessarily the right answer.
Right.
You know, and also, or any kind of loan, because there are other products out there, and I think a lot of the listeners will know that there's factoring, for example. Okay, factoring is not for everyone. You've got to understand that product, but factoring your debts is a good way of helping cash flow, but it can be expensive, and if it goes wrong, you know, it can be expensive to exit as well. But there are lots and lots of financial products out there, and I think it'd be for all businesses that are looking to, you know, to maybe contemplate looking at alternative finance, is to speak to professional advisors that can actually have got access to a whole array of products.
And I guess what we're saying is that there's a positive side to all of this, rather than it being entirely focused around negativity and insolvency and bankruptcy or whatever it is. And
they're all negative. Unfortunately, you know, sometimes you can't avoid the inevitable, but it doesn't necessarily mean that's the end of it. Because we had the Enterprise Act that was introduced under the previous Labour government, you know, to allow bankruptcies not to be the failures and to be punished like they were many years ago. They used to have debtor prisons, back in the last century. Imagine bringing them back now, debtor prisons, God.
Yeah.
Seems like a good idea to me.
To certain bankrupts, but unfortunately, like anything like that, where any laws are relaxed, then obviously that becomes, a subject to abuse as well. But it's very easy to go bankrupt now. And of course, we've seen a shift in away from the trader going bankrupt. We've got lots of consumer debtors.
Yes.
And that brings me on to something I read the other day, that our unsecured borrowing on a personal level are back to where they were in 2008. Now, if you think in 2009 the interest rates plummeted, if the unsecured borrowing is going to keep going up, at some point, there's going to be a tipping point.
Yes.
And what are interest rates going to do? Are they going to go down? I don't think they are.
No. They
can only go up, and but that's something. And I always say, people say to me, are we heading for another slump or another recession? And I said, for as long as people are employed and they've got an income, they will spend. But I do accept that there's a lot of nervousness, a lot of uncertainty, and a lot of people are worried, you know, about the future. And I completely understand that. But the only way to address that is to speak to somebody, whether it's on a personal level or a corporate level.
So let's come back to that then. So let's say as a business owner, I know that there's a problem in my business in terms of meeting my monthly outgoings. Yeah. I think there might be some solutions because my finance, for example, my business bank loan is extortionately high, I think, in terms of my repayments or something like that. So let's say I came to you because I know you offer a sort of an initial meeting with distressed businesses anyway, don't you?
Yeah, free of charge. We address all options that are available. First of all, we actually assess what the problem is, and I always.
So, would you need a set of management accounts in order to do that? Would you like me to come along with?
We'd certainly like to see, like, obviously, a latest balance sheet, the latest P&L, whether that's a trial balance.
Right.
We'd like to see a list of the creditors. We'd like to know what the position is with the landlord on your premises, and we'd like to know obviously what the bank situation is.
Yeah. So give it to you in black and white. Yeah, don't try and hide anything. No.
That's what I always say to anybody who refers work to me, or all my referrers. Yeah. I just say, I just need to know the truth, because unfortunately we do see...
It would be a bit pointless otherwise.
Absolutely, because I find it out later on, it makes it a little bit more difficult, whether it's an illegal dividend or an overdrawn director's loan account. You know, it just makes that a little bit awkward. But if you can tell me up front, then at least we can address that in the best way possible.
And then, so where do we go from there? So we have quite a frank initial meeting, and you say, look, you know, these figures don't add up, this doesn't balance, you know, you're overspending, you know, as a business, for example. How do things
you
progress?
You wave your magic wand, and we all live happy ever after. Or possibly you come up with different solutions.
Talking about, you know, they go hand in hand, really. And sometimes it did feel like you could, like, be able to, you know, not wave a magic wand, but you feel that people could buy into what you're trying to do and trying to turn around a business or restructure it. But you know what? I actually asked the directors. I asked them straight. I said, you know, I said, right, this is the situation as I see it. And then I asked them, I said, well, what do you want to do? Tell me where you want to get to.
Right.
If you want to clean exit out the business, okay, and walk away or try and do something else, then we'll try and help you with that. If you want to try and rescue the business, then we'll need, obviously, all the information that we're going to ask for, and then we'll look to see if we can refinance or if we can rescue it.
Brilliant.
In another way.
Okay, so the onus is on the director or directors to actually give you the brief and say, Adrian, we know there's a business here.
Yeah,
we know it's a going concern. Yeah. It's
if it's viable, if there's a viable business there. I mean, because sometimes people get confused. You know, it's not just businesses that are financially, you know, in trouble, but you've got underperforming businesses as well. That means they're not necessarily in financial trouble, but they're not really, like, maximising what they're trying to get to. They might get their pricing might be wrong. They're not maximising their sales volume.
And you can look at all of that at a kind of holistic outside kind of level and be objective and impartial.
Absolutely right.
And I think, Brian, for me, the other key thing with Adrian specifically and as an individual is how well connected you are. You're probably the best connected accountant I've ever met.
They all know him. They all know him.
If Adrian doesn't know you, frankly, you're probably not worth knowing.
Well, do you know what? I tell you the real reason for that is, unlike accountants and solicitors, our work's not reoccurring.
Right.
So we don't have clients per se. Mm-hmm. So once a job's done, you know, whether we've rescued a business or if we've had to do a liquidation, that's it. You know. The next one's got to come. That's why we have to, like, network. It's mainly with professional advisors, but we are getting not so much repeat business, but we get recommendations.
Sort of thing you want to make a habit of.
No,
is
that's
it?
Right. No, because.
But what it means is you can signpost people to get the expert help that they then
that's
need
right.
on the back of having agreed a kind of a plan of action.
Absolutely right.
It's right. Now you need to speak to these guys, those guys, and these
absolutely
guys,
right.
and they'll make it happen for you, whether it be invoice factoring or whatever it happens to be.
Absolutely. So. I mean, it's you know, our remit, really. I mean, of course, you know, we are part of the professional services that are provided out there. Mm-hmm. But our point of, you know, what we're trying to do is raise awareness that there is help available. But we also act as good middle people as well, because, like, you know, there's an example of, you know, somebody referred an individual to me who was on the brink of going bankrupt. He had a petition presented against him. He had a hearing in a couple of weeks' time. But I couldn't really help him, but I knew somebody who could because he had equity in his property. Mm-hmm. So I passed him on. Mm-hmm. Actually, too, was it was Hugh Kennedy. Mm.
I remember Hugh
Kennedy.
He has disappeared off the face of the earth, hasn't he?
He's still about, but anyway. And he sorted out a mortgage for him straight away and got him out of bankruptcy.
Brilliant.
So it's about knowing. It's not about. It's not always about what you know. It's who you know.
No. And I think the other thing about money is, you know, people are very reluctant to kind of to explore that avenue.
Yeah.
Because there's, you know, again, there's a mindset that, you know, well, I can't take on debt or I can't borrow money to finance my business. I won't do it. And the reality quite often, I think, for a lot of businesses that kind of fail at that final hurdle is they just needed, you know, an extra £5,000-£10,000, and they would have been there.
The key is to stay on top of your numbers. And when I asked, you know, I said, do you know if you're making money or if you're trading? So, well, and they said, well, I've got money in the bank.
Yeah.
And I go, well, that's not really an indication. Just because you've got money in the bank, it doesn't necessarily mean you're making any money.
No. Mm. And so businesses
might own more than what they've got.
Absolutely
in the bank,
right.
So businesses that run themselves on the basis of you know what happens to be in their bank account.
Absolutely.
And quite often it's even muddier than that, isn't it? Because the business bank account is your personal bank account, and you know, how you manage to keep track of all of that and separate the two is.
Absolutely. I remember there was someone said to me once, you know, that there's, you know, if you stand back and look at a lot of businesses, there's too many that perhaps, especially like I've noticed in family business, where there's a lot of pride at stake, you know, when there's been succession, you know, and and they have to face each other over the dinner table and things like that. But, you know, there is that they're always quite difficult to manage, the family businesses, because of, like, you know, the prospect of failure, you know, it will brings kind of a bit of shame on the family history, you know, and sadly we have
self-esteem,
to deal with that.
Self-esteem, isn't it? It's absolutely. All of that, very emotional. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay. Adrian, we could talk all day about this. It's fascinating. But I think, you know, the key message is, you know, think positively, people.
Absolutely.
And think early.
I think early, that's right. Think early. The early warning signs, you know.
Don't try and sweep it under the carpet and hope that something changes.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Because, you know, an old networking saying
absolutely
is,
right, Brian.
If you keep doing the same
absolutely
things,
right, Brian.
You'll get the same results if you want something
absolutely.
To change.
There is help out there. There is help, you know, that can steer businesses out of trouble.
Because it will have an impact on your personal life as well, ultimately, and the people around you.
Absolutely.
So a problem shared is a problem halved.
It is.
Always.
Good old saying, absolutely.
Yeah. Good. Adrian, thanks so much for that.
Thank you. Fascinating. Thank you for having me on.
Anybody that would like to kind of know a bit more about what Adrian does and some of the detail that we just weren't able to get into today, Adrian has written us a superb blog, which is on the Supply My Business website. It's called Knowing When to Stop Trading. So do have a read of that. And Adrian, how can we get in touch with you?
Well, you can email me at adrian.dante@mhllp.co.uk, or you can also ring our office. The number's on the website.
You're based in the Maidstone.
And Maidstone
office.
But I do work out of Canterbury as well.
Right, okay. So anywhere in Kent or southeast, I guess. Fantastic.
Feel free to get in contact with
me. Brilliant. Adrian, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thank you, thank you.
Absolutely brilliant.
Really enjoyed it.
Brian, we've got about a minute and a half to draw this show today to a close. Is there anything you would like to mention before we do that?
No, I think we've trundled through it like a train there, haven't we? And we've done really, really well. But only to say, we are, of course, back in 2 weeks' time.
Indeed.
On Monday the 4th of March.
Gosh.
I know, that's the end of
we'll
February.
We'll be going home in the light.
Yeah.
It'll be amazing, isn't it? Lovely.
Yeah, soon be summer.
Good. All right. And I think we've got a number of potential guests lined up. So we'll
have a particular favourite.
All right.
I was going to try and get hold of him during the show.
Okay.
But, I have one in mind.
So keep a lookout for us on Kent_biz for who that next show guest is. Just a very quick mention for Joe at Origin Training. Joe, I know you're listening because we got your tweet. So thank you so much for your support. And obviously, we wish you the best of luck with your Kent IT Academy collaboration with Ben that's coming up at Bucknell Park. So I know that's going to be a huge success. So thank you for that. And I think that's just about it. So we wish everybody a very happy half-term break. If you if you're lucky enough to be having a few days off, please do enjoy the sunshine and get out and see all these wonderful attractions that Kent has to offer. But for now, I think we're going to play you out with some more tunage.
Another
Goodbye.
Link.
Thank you.
Bye for now.
In life for free, but you can give them to the birds and bees. I want money. That's what I want. That's what I want. That's what I want. Your love gives me such a thrill, but your love won't pay my bills. I want money. Get everything, it's true. What it don't get, I can't use. I want money.